Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packers.
Oh, we lost Nagler's audio.
We lost Nagler. We have my, that's not good.
Oh, there we go. We got you.
We got me? That's hilarious. Hey, what's up, everybody? Aaron Nagler here. She's at TV. Oh, my God. Hope you're all doing well because I'm getting a feedback loop, something serious. Aaron Nagler here. She's at TV, New York. That's amazing. I'm going to reconnect, Corey, because suddenly everything's crazy. I'll be right back.
Okay. All right. Good times. Nice way to start the show. We had actually a snow blizzard here in Green Bay like about 20 minutes ago. I think I saw on Twitter there was like a snow squall of some type. It was funny. I heard Nagler's audio was like fine, and then it kind of went out. But yeah, we got a little snow on the ground here. We got about, I'm going to call it a quarter inch or so. But good evening and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm all by myself on this show. Maybe we'll get Nagler back. Maybe we won't. Nagler is in New York, and I'm coming from you across the street from Lambeau Field. We're ready to talk some Packers as soon as he gets back on. Today, we assess where the Packers sit after a week that featured two big wins and a look ahead to tomorrow night's Monster Showdown in Motown that everybody thinks we're not going to be able to do, but here we go. Yeah, this is my hat for when we get serious. This is where we got to go. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we'll just run them. So we got the good. We got Quay Walker in the good, you guys. I don't know that anybody had Quay Walker on the good for this week, but here it is. I'm a huge Quay Walker fan. Here I have been for a while since we drafted him. And so there you go. Then we got the bad. We got D-line offsides. And then we got the ugly. We got Tua. Tua in the cold for the ugly. And Tua, good job not changing narratives, Tua. Good job with that, buddy. Appreciate it. And then you know what? Why don't we just go right while we're waiting for Nagler to get back on? Why don't we just go with the hotness? I'm going to go with the hotness. So here we go. Let's run it.
Water testing. How we doing?
Okay. So for the hotness, there we go.
We got hotness? What?
Yeah, I think you don't have the right mic on the advanced settings. Just check your mic settings, because that was happening when you came back on. It was weird. So for the hotness, we have Jacob's check down. Let's check this out. Let's watch this for a second. Oh, snaps, pro. Little check down. Bye-bye. Hello. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you there? Were you trying to tackle me? Because you can't. Hi. Wow. All right, here we go. And again, we're going to watch it again. We've got that nice motion. A little fake. Waiting for people. Oh, nobody's there. I'm going to give it to you. One miss, two miss.
Look at this. He could go out of bounds here, but he says no.
Four misses, five. Take six guys. The sixth guy finally got him down. Nice. Good job.
What I love is that he could go out of bounds there at the end, and he says, nope, I'm going to hit this dude and get five more yards. That's my favorite part of that. Like, everything's great. The move is awesome. Getting up the left sideline, totally dope. And then I could step out of bounds, but I'm Josh Jacobs, so I'm going to destroy this guy and get five more yards. That's hot.
Brandy, what do we have on tap today, Corey? Oh, yeah. Mm.
Good times.
I mean, that was a good one. Leonardo hasn't had a chance to see this live. And, yeah, I mean, you've literally been on this feed for like an hour. So
an hour.
The fact that all happened. It's crazy.
An hour. Been fine. No problems. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose.
It's all your fault somehow.
Yeah, usually.
So it's fine.
Tends
let's do some Packer news. Let's do some Packers
is there news?
We got
no,
some Packers
is there?
News. Yes, there is.
Is there Packers news? All right. You know, there unfortunately, there is some Packers news, and it's not great Packers news. I mean, starting with Jaire Alexander did practice this week, but he will not play tomorrow night. He has been ruled out. The injury report came out about a half hour before we went live, and he was downgraded to did not participate on Wednesday, which is weird. It's an estimation. They only did a walkthrough today, but he was listed as a did not participate. It feels like a step back. I mean, he had been limited on Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday a DNP. You hate to see that. He is not playing tomorrow night. In addition, Romeo Doubs is still in the concussion protocol. He started practice again on Sunday. He was there Monday and Tuesday, but he also has been ruled out. He will not play. No Romeo Doubs, no Jaire Alexander. You hate it, but they're at least a week away. So hopefully that kind of 10-day window post a Thursday night game gets both of these guys cleared. But right now, they will be without the services of either Romeo Doubs or Jaire Alexander for tomorrow night. Other injury news, this is not a surprise. We've kind of known this, but Edrin Cooper still dealing with that hamstring injury. He is ruled out. Again, that was kind of expected. It's interesting that this will be his third game. I know it's weird because you would think maybe they should have put him on IR, but when you've got two games in less than a week, you can get through those two games and maybe hopefully get him back in time rather than having to have him sit for a full kind of four games. So we'll see if he's back again after the kind of 10-day window here. And look, they could definitely use him, especially in this game where you know the Lions are going to come out of the gate running the football. But he will not be able to go. Someone who will be able to go earlier this week, bit of a scare with Elgton Jenkins not participating early in the week. He was on the sideline riding a bike, and then it comes out he has a knee injury that he's been dealing with, but he has not even been given an injury designation for this game, so he will be a go, which is great. Obviously, you need your offensive line at full strength against this battered Detroit Lions defense. And then finally, Corey, I know this is huge Green Bay Packers news. I could not be more thrilled that this development has occurred. Now we'll see if they can actually get across the finish line, but both Mike Holmgren and Sterling Sharp are finalists for the 2025 class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We've talked about it a lot here on this channel, Corey. It is well past time, especially for Sterling Sharp, but for both of these guys to be in the Hall of Fame. They absolutely deserve it, absolutely should. The vote will be in January, so we got to wait some time here, but hopefully the senior committee is the one that will be kind of determining the fate of Sterling Sharp. They need 80%. He needs 80% of the vote, 80% yes vote, essentially. I think at this point, there's such a groundswell publicly for Sterling Sharp. I really hope that sways people because it's absolutely absurd that he had to wait this long to get in.
I feel like his brother has had a lot to do with that. His brother being so successful as a podcaster and a broadcaster, I do think kept everything up in the air. I know some of us have and some other mm-hmm. media types, but I do feel like, because every time his brother, you know, just Shannon being so prevalent in the media, I think definitely has helped his cause.
100%. And the fact that he goes to bat for him so publicly every time it gets brought up, as far as like, I'm in the Hall of Fame and I'm the lesser of the two talents.
Yeah, he's like, my brother was way better than me. Yeah,
he
says it all the time. Yeah.
So hopefully, yes, exactly. Hopefully that carries some significant weight because Sterling as well. I'm not going to go into it all here. I've done it a million times, but he is more than deserving. And Holmgren, too. Here's the other thing. I saw, being in New York, I've heard from a lot of Giants fans, Corey, about Tom Coughlin not getting the call as opposed to Holmgren. And it's like, look, I think Coughlin's an amazing coach. He did wonders here in New York. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean Mike Holmgren isn't deserving. I mean, you look at his work, not only with the Packers, but getting the Seahawks to a Super Bowl. Hell, the work he did in San Francisco as an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach. You look at the totality of his career as a football coach in the NFL. I don't care what anyone else has done. Mike Holmgren is 1,000,000,000% deserving. So here's hoping both of these guys get that call in January. Let's talk about that offense, shall we? Corey Behnke?
Yeah.
Packers offense. They got an offense.
I like it.
You know that.
I like it. They're very
good. The red zone offense, Corey, it has arrived. The red zone offense has arrived. And it is interesting because there's two components here, right? One is something we talked about all the first part of the season, and Matt has kind of drilled into the ecosphere, so to speak, at the podium after every game. I mean, they've eliminated, for the most part, not completely, but they've eliminated a lot of the, especially pre-snap penalties, false starts, the holding calls, things that have kind of made it tougher, especially earlier in the year, to get into the end zone. They've really put a clamp on that in a good way since the bye week. And then the other thing is they've leaned into Josh Jacobs. I mean, the fact that they can kind of stop trying to make everything happen and just bulldoze their way into the end zone, that has made a big difference. And I think in this game on Thursday, tomorrow night, it's going to make a difference again. That's my hope.
Oh, yeah. That's my hope, too.
No question. Then you look at Tucker Kraft, talking about guys bulldozing. Tucker Kraft is becoming a complete player. And it's interesting. I was talking to Andy earlier this week about, you know, people wondering when Musgrave comes back, what does that mean for Tucker Kraft? Let me tell you, it don't mean a thing for Tucker Kraft. Tucker Kraft is not only tight end one. He is becoming one of the most complete tight ends in the league, let alone in Green Bay. Like, the way he has not only kind of flourished as a blocker, as a receiver, as a yak monster. I mean, there is nothing you could ask him to do at this point at the tight end position that he has not started to excel at. And that's exciting because he's, what, in year two?
Yeah.
And he's still just kind of learning the game at this level. I love it, man. And I love his attitude. I love how he wants to run through a motherfucker's face. You know, he doesn't want to step out of bounds. He wants to take you for a ride. I absolutely love this kid. I'm really happy.
I feel like Tucker Kraft is progressing in his career like we wish LVN would progress in his career.
Yeah, I think that's fair. However, LVN's starting to make some waves. Maybe not to the level that Tucker has.
I needed and I wanted more, but yeah.
I feel you. Better late than never, but I hear you. Speaking of Tucker, though, I mean, this has been an ongoing theme with the Packers, regardless of who's catching it. Checkdowns are turning into first downs, and that is supremely promising for an offense that is constantly looking for the shot. They're always looking for those deep shots. They're always kind of calling, dialing them up. Matt's not shy about doing it. Jordan's certainly not shy about letting it rip. But Jordan knowing, okay, it's not there, getting that to my check down, whether it is Jacobs, whether it is Kraft, hell, anybody, whether it's Ben Sims, it has mattered. These guys are turning these check downs into first downs. And that is, I mean, comparative to where they were and what they were doing with them earlier this season, I mean, that's just hidden yardage. That's like extending drives. It's affording you opportunities to get into the red zone, score those touchdowns. It's such a kind of, it feels like a nothing burger kind of story, narrative, what have you, but it is so important and huge and has been since the bye week. And Jordan being willing to take them has really transformed this offense.
Yeah, and you got to imagine like his confidence in having those checkdowns do that. He's going to throw it to the checkdown more, which it's kind of a positive feedback loop, which is kind of nice.
1,000,000,000%. And I think that's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
I definitely feel like he got some of the bad habits he got from Rodgers were, you know, anti-checkdown, you know?
Yeah,
like, because Rodgers late in his career was the most anti-checkdown quarterback you've ever seen. Now Rodgers is like, if I can't throw it deep, I'm going to throw a checkdown every damn time. Otherwise, I'll look like an old man. Sorry.
I remember in 2020, he actually started, Rodgers really did start to hit the checkdown. And lo and behold, their offense was really efficient. And that's what we've seen here these last 3 weeks in particular with Jordan. There's no shame in it. There's no problem with it. All it does is extend your drive. I love it. I am absolutely loving it. Looking on the defensive side of the ball, Corey, I know you are very dismissive of run defense, and I understand why, but at the moment, Packers rank 8th in the NFL in run defense. I've got to admit, I was a bit surprised.
I feel like the last time we had this show, we ranked 4th, so.
No. No, no, no. Not we were averaging. They were averaging giving up 4.2 yards per carry. Maybe that's what you're remembering.
We'll have to look. They were back certainly at the stats not ranked fourth. I feel like they were ranked fourth in rushing yards or something. Yeah.
Eighth anyway. In the league, top 10, so that's promising, but a huge test coming up tomorrow night. Although I will say,
yeah. So as long as the Lions never throw it, we'll be fine.
I saw an amazing stat today where the Packers holding their last two opponents to under 40 yards rushing in back-to-back weeks is the first time that's happened in Green Bay since 1995, and it's only the second time it's happened in like 100 like plus seasons or some shit. Like, it's insane. Like, the fact that's that they've crazy. Been able to check McCaffrey and then the Dolphins tandem there is pretty incredible. You know, now it's not all roses, of course, and rainbows on defense. Devontae Wyatt, please respond. Remember at the beginning of the season when Wyatt was sacking quarterbacks and it looked like, hey, maybe this is it. This is him kind of bursting onto the scene in a new defense, a new scheme that's going to allow him to flourish. And then he got the injury. He got the knee injury, or I'm sorry, it was an ankle injury. And then he was gone for a while. And now he's been back. But you haven't really noticed him. And I do think he had a few plays against the Dolphins that showed some promise. But, man, the Packers need him to pick it up, so to speak. Get off the milk carton. Make a difference. Make some plays. I mean, it'd be great. It'd be a great time to do it.
That'd be nice.
Especially against this offense, which definitely wants to run the football and has one of the best offensive lines in the league. Look, let's shoot a gap here, Devontae. Let's make some tackles for loss. Let's get to the quarterback and cause some problems. It is time to quote a former Packers coach. It is time. Devontae Wyatt, we need you. But you know, hey, we've been here before with a few players, Corey, where been wondering if they're ever going to kind of put it together. Are they going to do it? We talked about LVN earlier. He's been, you know, coming on these last couple games, as has one Quay Walker. Shout out Quay Walker. I mean, here he comes. Here it is. I, you know, take a lot of grief. People on the chat, especially during games, Nagler's a Quay Walker guy. I don't know about all that, but I do know you can win with Quay Walker. They've won with Quay Walker. While he's definitely had games where certainly a lot of mistakes, a lot of issues, these last two games, man, he's really put it together. And it looks like he's finally reacting without really kind of overthinking things. And it's kind of akin to what we heard LaFleur talk about with the quarterback position, like getting to a point where you can just drop back and let it rip. Well, it feels like Quay at the inside backer spot is finally snap of the football, I'm letting it rip. Whatever my assignment is, I trust myself. I know what it is. I know what I got to do. And he's just going, man. There's a play. And it's not just he's had some tackles for loss, right? He's definitely rushed the passer really well. But there was a play against Miami where he was tasked with taking Tyreek Hill up the seam in the red zone. And he was with them stride for stride. It was like a classic attempt to kind of have a cover two beater. And he was right there. There was no place to go with the ball. He was there with Tyreek Hill, the fastest wide receiver in the game. I mean, these are the things where it's like, you see the athletic ability and the talent. It's so tantalizing. And if he's finally putting it together, baby, come on. Bring that to me.
Now all he has to do is catch the ball when it hits his hands.
I mean, you're not lying.
He'll be the
you're
complete not. Package.
You're not lying.
I mean,
but there's a reason he plays defense, you know.
I've 100% been behind Quay Walker since the beginning. And even when he got kicked out the second time for ejected and all those all that stuff. But you could just tell there's something about the guy. He's definitely a football player, and he's definitely like he's the aggressiveness we're always missing at the linebacker position, I feel like. So I was always willing to kind of, you know, hey, he's aggressive. He really wants to be there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like effort and talent.
The effort is unquestioned.
At some point are going to turn it around. And I think you're starting to see that now with this new defense.
I mean, it's crazy to think, you know, yes, it's frustrating when he's out of position or he misses a tackle or whatever. But to your point, he has abilities and kind of athleticism, upside, whatever you want to call it, that guys in the past have not. at that, whether it's Martinez, whether it's AJ Hawk, whoever you want to talk about on the inside, he's a different cat. He's a different athletic breed. And that is, I'm not saying he's like exponentially better or anything, but that I think that upside is undeniable. And again, if they can finally have that on the regular, on a consistent basis, making plays, not questioning himself, I mean, sky is the limit for this guy. I think he has like 10 plus tackles again on Thursday night. That's my hope.
Down with that.
Down with that. I'm also down with giving our friends over at Prize Picks a shout out. Got to give the boys and girls at Prize Picks the daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Let's take a look at my picks for tomorrow night. It's a can't-miss lineup, Corey. Jordan Love ain't going to need more than 30 pass attempts. Tucker Kraft's going to go ham. Unfortunately, I think Sam Laporta is going to go ham, too. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, even without Jaire Alexander in the lineup for the Packers, he ain't hitting 70 yards. There we go, Corey. Get me your lineups,
like
people.
Him. I don't like
him. I can't imagine why.
He's my least favorite player in the NFL. He's such trash.
Who's that? Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yeah, I don't like. I don't even say his name.
I mean,
it's like the Empire to me. I'm not even. He's a douche matouche.
I don't. You know, I can't deny his talent. He's a really good football player. But the way he gets so pearl clutching about Green Bay Packers fans, because it all stems from a couple years ago when he jumped in the stands and got beer poured on him, and he thought, "I don't know what Packers fans are doing." And it's like, you jumped at Lambeau Field into the stands. What did you expect? So that woman who, by the way, the woman who poured the beer on him, she's a hero. Absolute hero.
I would love to pour beer on him. That would be nice. I would love that.
I mean, and then he wears the Green Bay Sucks sweatshirt at Lambeau earlier this season. So
I mean, that's why I don't like him. But
he's
I also
on his podcast
like he's so,
earlier this year talking about how Packers fans are the worst.
I don't like him. You know why he says that? Because he's jealous of how Packer fans back up their players, whereas Lions fans are just figuring this shit out right now. They're like, oh, we're good? What's that like?
Well, and that's what I said. I think I said this on Daily. It's like, oh, Packers fans, they always feel entitled, like they're going to win. Yeah, because we've been winning. Since the early 90s, you play for a team that had one shit.
We're the winningest team in the
in
history
forever.
Of the NFL.
Yes,
in the history of the
exactly.
NFL. No so team like, has won more games than the Green Bay Packers.
Or championships. You know, it's
or
like,
championships.
That's what we do. So, yeah, that's why we feel
oh,
that
I would
way.
Pour,
that's why we act that
I
way.
I would waste to carry the G on pouring it on him, as long as I had video, for sure. I know that seems sacrilegious, but I'm just
no,
saying
no.
Right now. If I had to carry the G yes. and I had the ability to not get beat up by pouring a beer on him, I would do it. I'd need like Jaire Alexander, somebody to have my back.
Somebody
you know
in your
I mean?
Corner.
Like, with
yeah,
them, who was down, and then they would do the blocking while I ran, because I would run. I would not would
flee the scene,
fight
as
or
it were.
Flight, I would choose flight with an L.
You're a lover, not a fighter.
I would definitely
Corey.
Take the L on the flight side. Definitely. I would take an L to pour a beer on him too, by the way. I would take an L. That's fine. I would take a black
take
guy
L.
to pour a beer on him. I'm trying to figure out what I would go through to pour a beer on him. I would
so
go
now,
through a lot.
See, you say take the
like,
L.
You could pour you could torture
right?
me and yeah, personally.
Okay, you're not
like,
the Packers
like you could,
take an L.
You could pull no. Like I would take an L. Like I would take an L like you could pull a fingernail out and I would still want
oh,
to pour a beer on him. You know what
damn.
I mean?
Damn. Jesus,
that's how
image.
Much I, that's mm. how much I want to pour a beer on him.
You want to pour you know a beer on him in a really bad
like
way.
Like I'm willing to take sadistic.
Remember, wait. I was
torture.
Just gonna say. Remember English Patient when Willem Dafoe is in the he's captured and then like they're like, what's the penalty for adultery? You were caught, you know, with an unmarried woman. What is it? Oh, is it fingers that they cut off? And he's like, no, don't take my fingers. That's you. You're sitting there going, take my finger. Take my finger.
Yeah.
If
we'll
I can
take
pour
one
a beer
fingernail
on.
After. If when we get to the second fingernail, I think that's where I draw the line. To be
okay.
honest with you,
it's one fingernail.
Because I'm pretty
got
sure
it.
I could that's do one, limit. And it would hurt really badly. And yes, the whole entire will. Time, I would be thinking to myself, "I just poured a beer on him. I did it." So, but then, it would stay with me. But then at the second one, I would be like, what am I doing? And I would be questioning my fandom at the second one. So. And I don't want to be in that position. It's kind of like, it's kind of like why I don't do fantasy, right? Because I don't want to be questioning my fandom. I don't like questioning my fandom on the reg.
Totally get it. I absolutely get it. No question about it. Speaking of Amon-Ra St. Brown and the Detroit Lions, let's take a look at this matchup tomorrow night, Corey. It's weird to be doing the transplants the day before a game, but here we are. Here's a fun fact. The Packers have gained 788 yards in their past two games against the Lions. Now, obviously one of those was in Detroit on Thanksgiving last season, and the next one was in Lambeau this year where they took the L. They moved the ball in both of those games. The difference, of course, being this year in Lambeau, they didn't, A, catch the ball with any near the regularity required, and B, a lot of empty yardage that ended up in no points. Whether it was, you know, obviously not converting in the red zone, but then missed kicks.
Yeah, they had red zone problems.
I mean, it was an issue.
We've gotten We've gotten past those.
I was going to say,
the red zone
point
problems.
Being, they have moved the ball on this team. And that was when they were healthy. They ain't healthy tomorrow. Absolutely not.
This is the time in the show where Green Bay, it's 4:26 and it's already looks like it's 10 o'clock.
It looks like it's 10 o'clock.
Do, love it.
What's amazing is, like, legit, when we hopped online to set up the show, behind Corey was an absolute blizzard, like a whiteout blizzard. And right now,
yeah, I was talking about, to start the show, I was talking about that stall. So I was talking about all the snow on the ground right now. We got about a quarter inch blizzard.
Light dusting. Keeping with the game, Lions are number one in the NFL in third down defense. They are allowing conversions just under 32% of the time on third down. You know how
You kill that? They're number one at sucking, or they're number one at
one at being really good at stopping people on third down.
You know how you stop that?
Especially at home.
Checkdowns.
Checkdowns, and you get to third and short so you can hand the ball off to Josh Jacobs. That was my second.
Stay ahead
of the sticks, because third down is not where you want to live against this team. Finally, the Lions are 3.5-point favorites. And as we've discussed often, a lot of times Vegas gives you three just for being at home. 3.5? I'm liking this. I'm thinking I need to put some money on the Packers to cover this, because I just don't feel like the Lions are going to blow us out. I don't think the Lions are going to win by two scores. I think the Packers are going to win, and I think the Packers are going to win probably by three. So I think
I feel like you really shouldn't bet on things considering how well you do at Prize Picks. So I'm just going to put that out there. But maybe you shouldn't bet real money. Like, bet the Prize Picks money, you know what I mean? Because they give it to you.
right.
But, like, if it's not sponsor dollars, I'm just not feeling you betting on things.
Yeah,
you know
I'm gonna put up a year's worth of my rent on the Packers tomorrow night. That's what I'm gonna do.
Great.
If you want to get more breakdown of this game coming up, big, huge matchup in Detroit, make sure you subscribe to the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter. A link to do so is in the description of this video. Andy and I broke it all down. That'll be live on the newsletter tomorrow morning. Do it, folks. Sign up. A lot of fun. Great. Tons of great Packers content each and every week, every morning after the game. Do it, people. All right, Corey, you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey, you know, a lot of times when we're doing blogosphere, we're looking around trying to highlight folks that maybe people aren't familiar with, people that maybe we're not familiar with. And I've got to say, the algorithm for TikTok has done it again. It's discovered a Packers content creator that I'd never heard of. I'd never seen literally any of their stuff before I came across this TikTok, and then I looked at the account, and this dude is doing some good stuff. I hope he continues to do it, because it's rare. It's hard to get good football content on TikTok. Like, that's not like staged reaction video.
Get ready with me while I go to Lambeau. I'm a Wisconsin content creator, and I'm going to Lambeau for the first time.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, there's a lot of that. Trash.
Like, there's a whole lot of that. But this is really good football stuff. This, I don't know this gentleman's name, but the handle is Packers on the Rocks. Here he is on Quay Walker.
The latest stock is rising Packer players. Your starting middle linebacker, number 7, Quay Walker. As we know, Quay has not had the type of season we anticipated in Hapley's new defense, but he's really came on strong these last 2 weeks in both run support and when his numbers have been called to blitz. For instance, Quay had a number of open field tackles against one of the best running backs in the league, Christian McCaffrey. Not an easy task to do, hunting him down sideline to sideline. Perhaps the best part of Quay's game is his ability to get after the quarterback, and he had pressures on 4 out of 5 of his blitzes against Tua, including one that wound up in a sack in the Packers' best goal line stand of the season.
I mean, that's good stuff. That's good, strong football stuff. That's good.
I like
content.
That goal line stand. Nobody
Hell
believed.
Yeah. Nobody that's... believed, especially not on this chat. I'll tell you that. Remember, Corey, it was over. The tide had turned. Clearly, the Dolphins were taking over at that point, until they weren't. But anyway, shout out to Packers on the Rocks. Hope you keep going, buddy. That's the whole channel. I'm telling you, go find them on TikTok. It's good stuff. Next up. You know, the my cause, my cleats thing that the NFL does each and every season.
Yep.
I wish they would let the guys, like, do a little bit more around it, especially on game day, wear the cleats during games, etc. But I did love this real short clip that the NFL put together with Tucker Kraft to highlight what he wanted to as far as, like, the not only the kind of place he comes from, but the charity of his choice. Let's take a look here.
And moving upfield is Tucker Kraft.
You know, no one does it like Tucker Kraft.
That is Kraft, and he's still right.
The greatest thing that he does is being able to highlight our Lakota community.
Where I come from has made me into the player that I am. I play the way I do is for the people that help me along the way. Cheyenne River Youth Project, they have a way to help people out. I hope these kids see that everything is achievable, whether you're from a reservation or not. This is my cause, and these are my cleats.
Absolutely love it. And I know a ton of guys participated. Make sure you check out Packers.com. They have a list of all the guys who had causes, cleats, etc. in the last game. But I just love that Tucker's so in touch with his roots, as it were, and that he chooses to highlight
that. Yeah, I like it when the players choose. I mean, like, there's so many organizations that, like, need help or need money and need things. But
the
I love it when players choose something local to them, because it just feels really personal, and it just makes it, like, matter more. Not that, you know, I say that, and it's like so many Packers players have chosen Green Bay causes, which I think is freaking great. And Jordan Love being one of them, right? Like, he's made so many inroads in the local community and helping kids, like, play football and do things. So I love that, but it just feels really personal when people choose something that's that local to them growing up.
Absolutely. Funny, speaking of local and growing up, I gotta say, I mean, shout out to this dude who Wyatt found at the Dolphins game on Thanksgiving. This is from one of our YouTube shorts, but this, you talk about diehard. You want to talk about diehard fan, Corey? Check out this cat. Roll it.
All right, I'm here with
TJ Corona.
Fins up, baby!
Go Pack Go.
All right, TJ, where are you from?
I'm from born and raised here in Green Bay.
And you're a Fins fan?
I'm a Fins fan, man, all the way.
What happened? Like, what went wrong? Was it at birth or what?
Kind of. Grew up, I come from a Hispanic household. Dad's a Cowboys fan, mom's a Packers fan. They tried rubbing their teams off me, and I was like,
Didn't happen.
I just wasn't feeling it. And ironically, the one game that was on TV was the Dolphins that day.
Yep.
I liked the logo. I liked everything. I'm like, I'm going to roll with them. A little bit. I know at the time they're like the worst team in the league.
I see you got the Tua jersey on.
Absolutely.
How you feel about Tua?
Man, Tua is the GOAT. I know a lot of people question his concussions. Personally, for the love of the guy himself, he should retire just for his health.
We hope Tua stays healthy as well. But at the end of the day, it's Go Pack Go. Can I get a Go Pack Go to end off?
No, I can't do that. I can't do that. All I can do is fence up, baby.
Go Pack Go.
I mean, shout out. That is born and raised in Green Bay, diehard Dolphins fan. Amazing.
The crazy thing about that guy is he's about 1,000 times more delusional than me, and I'm delusional as a motherfucker. So that guy, I don't. Something's seriously wrong with that guy. For like so many things, there are like layers of wrong that I could go through that would take an entire transplant to go through. So
that's a whole separate episode. Yeah, I feel you. But hey, shout out to him. That's what I mean. Like, Yo, he wouldn't even say go, Pack, go. He was like, fins up, baby. Like, he just was in character the whole time.
God well, it's funny, him. And it's totally out of character for most Dolphins fans. Like, one of my best friends growing up in college, one of my best friends in college, Mr. Miles Doliak, huge Saints fan right now. Yes. And he's a filmmaker now. He's a semi-famous filmmaker in
he's really
in,
good.
And
yeah,
I say
he's
semi,
talented as hell.
He's really good. He's talk about local, like he supports a lot of Southern Film Festivals and New Orleans Film Festivals. And a lot of things going on around New Orleans, helps people like do films, has really had a pretty killer career. But
great career, yeah.
And he responds to me on Twitter sometimes. And he'll probably respond about this if we clip it off. But he was a Dolphins fan all in college, like the entire time, like huge Dolphins fan. Literally, he's a Saints fan now. And has been a Saints fan for like 15 years. So
it's so funny because like, I remember in college he was diehard. He was though. Like he was all in on the Fins.
Oh yeah.
And then we moved to New York. He went back, I think, to New Orleans at some point, and just leaned into the Saints. And I'm like,
I mean, to I be like fair, he's from Hattiesburg, so he's
know,
from he's more like, from being a Saints fan
that now. Area. No, I know, but that was what was so weird because I only knew him as a Fins fan. So yeah, that is you're right. It's very. Very Fins fan.
I mean, it makes more. Here's the thing: like, it makes more sense to be a Packers fan if you're from anywhere, because, like, you know, it's the best team.
So,
like, let's be real.
So great.
But yeah, like, all these if awesome you're gonna teams, pick a team, don't pick the fucking Miami Dolphins. Like, you just gotta be out of your mind, bro.
But that's my point. Like, homeboy even said, like, I didn't realize they were the worst team in the league. Like, but he stuck with it. Bless that kid. Bless him. That's diehard right there. That's the definition of diehard. God bless him. All right, let's see what's going on in the YouTube chat here, Corey. What are folks yapping about?
Klaus Skite, thank you for the super chat. How much did the retired players collection bring? Go, Pack, go. We are still doing the math.
Not quite done.
We're still doing the math because math is hard for us. Actually, PFRPA is like, hey, how much did you guys get? And we're like, we don't know. So
we're
probably
going to do one last hurrah. We'll do some kind of event where we have Corey auctioning off his.
Yeah, we're going to do some giveaways. We're going to do some giveaways. We've got some swag. Yeah, we're not wrapped up. We are going to make an announcement on what it's in the thousands of dollars, you guys. So it's
insane.
Definitely, I can definitely say it's in the thousands of dollars. So thank you to everyone who donated, and Klaus, we will make sure to put your $50 super chat towards the PFRPA. 100%. So we are doing that. But we just gotta, dude. It's just been crazy. Like Sunday, then Thursday game, Thanksgiving, all this craziness.
Crazy.
It's just been.
Yep.
It just took me a while to kind of get it, and then the fact that there's a game tomorrow, I'm like, what is going on with life right now?
Right.
Ed, it's really cool when Larry McCarron cannot hold back in his joy when the Packers are doing really well. I want to hear a lot of joy tomorrow.
I love it. That's so funny you say that, because I don't remember who I was talking to, but somebody was talking about how he – yes! When he goes, yes! In the middle of a play.
Yeah.
I love that. And someone was saying, oh, that's so annoying. I'm like, that is awesome. Ed, I'm with
it's
you.
It's not annoying.
I love that.
It's not annoying.
No, it's
also
great.
He's paid by the team, so – shut
should
up.
Be cheerleading.
Peter Lohr. Yeah, he's on the freaking 1265 Lombardi Avenue.
He's on the
payroll. Like, and also, he's not in a press box. So there's no journalistic integrity
no.
we're stepping
no.
on. He's got his own box.
Be,
he can do
he
his own shit.
Yep.
Peter Lohr. This seems like too big of a game to be just shown on Amazon Prime. Does the NFL have any way to move networks? I don't think so. Once they
I mean, Amazon paid them $1 trillion. to broadcast
so
these
money.
Games. They ain't moving
and,
shit.
And this is the first this is one of the first anywhere. Games they're getting that's any good.
That's
they
actually
always get the crappy
like anticipated,
games.
Yeah. I will say though, hey. The other a couple weeks ago that I don't remember it was a Cleveland the snow game against the Steelers, that was dope as hell. That was an awesome game. And not just cuz it was snowing. It was just an awesome football game. But yeah, Corey, like this is probably the highest anticipation for a Thursday night football game all season. Amazon is paid for that, right? They ain't moving nothing.
Daniel Dunker, hello from Arizona. What's up, Daniel?
What's up? Thanks, Daniel.
I don't think
hello
there's any
York
snow on the ground
Green Bay.
In Arizona. Luke Carnes, I really love how physical this team is. The energy is different. Thanks, as always, carry the G.
Thank you, Luke. I talked about that on the radio the other day.
I
it's
agree.
Crazy to think about the Green Bay Packers being categorized as a physical football team. It's been a while, Corey. Been a while.
You know what's really crazy? And people, this is just a perspective thing, because I like to bring different perspective and point of view to a lot of things. But if you just take a second and you sit down and you go, you know, a year ago in October, let's say, right? So, so like about 13 months ago, right? Call it 13 and a half. Let's just call it 13 and a half. 13 and a half months ago, the entire 50% of the state of Wisconsin, so what I'm going to say are the casual Packer fans.
Yes.
They were very unsure about this team. There were a lot of people, I will not name names, some of them sponsored this here program, that were little skeptical. They weren't the diehards that you know and love when you watch Cheesehead TV. You know, I'm going to put myself in that category, though I definitely don't think I'm as diehard as I should be, to be honest with you. But skepticism was rampant.
There was rampant
skepticism. And so the fact that we're here, right, the fact that we turned the corner, and it's so funny because no Packers fan, except for me apparently, sees this as a second-year team. The expectations going from last year into this year was like, okay, we're back, we're going to the Super Bowl. And like the reality is, like, salary cap wise, new coaching wise, all of the things,
player
like, they don't really
wise, all of it. Yeah,
you know, and they don't play in our hands, and especially the division, right? If you look at the division cycle right now, like we are salmon swimming upstream. Like, if we do not win this game tomorrow night, there's a chance we don't make the playoffs. It's crazy.
That's a minimal chance. I mean, yes, of course there's a chance, but it's a minimal chance. And look,
but it's crazy that you're even talking about a 9-3 team that might not. Yes. You know what I mean? It's just crazy.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. No question. No doubt about it. But you're as far as where the programs are and where Packers fans' expectations may live, right? But it was like I was talking about earlier with Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's the expectation in Green Bay. It's Titletown. Like, yes, we have a functioning offense. We have a pretty good defense. Okay, we're going to the Super Bowl. That's Packers fans, which I get. They've been spoiled, as they should be.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. It's Packer diehards have that mentality. But the casuals, I feel like, they were ready to walk away for a couple of years, I feel like. And then they got brought in. You know what they remind me of? It's like the Seattle game. It's like the Seattle game, right?
Right.
It's like casual, like Seattle fans are the most, the only a team that would have to create the 12th man.
Right.
You know your fans are casual as fuck when you have to create the 12th man. Do you know what I'm saying? You got to create a program to lift up your fan base because they suck so bad. So in 2014, literally half of the stadium left because they thought that we beat Seattle.
The game was over. Packers are going to win. Yep.
And so to me, every time I think about like Wisconsin casual fans, it's those fans coming back being like, oh, we're good now? We're good? We're good? Okay, I'm here.
We're back.
What happened? What'd I miss? Anyway, Leonardo Rodriguez.
I don't know if that's strictly Green Bay, though. I mean, I think most fan bases have that type of fandom within it. You know what I mean? Like the idea of, oh, we're good again.
No,
I'm
but it's
hop
unacceptable.
On board.
To me, it's I don't like bandwagon. I never got off the bandwagon. As soon as I get on that thing, I'm on.
Oh, you're on it. You've been on it for life.
And then
I get it.
Just casual fans are so annoying. And I, you know, there's a lot that show up at our tailgate.
You're not wrong.
I see them all the
you're
time.
Not wrong. I hear you.
Leonardo Rodriguez, Go Pack Go, Thursday Night Football with 4GB. Love listening to you guys. News, I moved from CR to New Jersey, a lot closer to Lambeau.
There you go.
CR, what's CR? Connecticut?
Costa Rica?
Costa Rica to New Jersey, a lot closer to Lambeau and Nags now, I guess. LOL. Hope Sharp gets in the Hall of Fame. Thank you for the super chat. Appreciate it. Mike Witt, hoping Magic Man is at Hall of Fame ceremony. If Sterling gets in, instant replay game, Bears will suck. Mike, I'm so surprised that you didn't have an Eeyore super chat there. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that.
I mean, Mike Witt bringing the heat. There we go.
Who are our two biggest Eeyores? It's got to be He Soder and Mike Witt.
Soder
right?
and Witt, no question. Soder and Witt.
Who wins that game? Who wins that game?
Oh,
who wins as the greatest?
Soder by a
the
mile.
Greatest Eeyore.
By
if the
mile.
Packers don't get like 100 rushing yards, Soder is like depressed as fuck.
Last night on happy hour, I don't remember who it was. Someone was saying something really kind of upbeat and like how great the vibe was around the Packers and how wonderful things were. And we were all, the whole place, the whole Zoom call was like, yeah, feeling it. Yeah, it's great. Blah, blah, blah. And then Soder's literally up next and he goes, I don't know about this defense. You know, I don't know about this offensive line. Like, I don't know about this Packers team. It's like you can count on Soder. You can count on Soder to keep it in check.
I mean, to be fair, you know, what is the generation between Boomer and Gen X? Is there one?
You're gonna have to tell me. I have no idea on any of this.
I feel like Soder's like in there.
I have no clue.
And I feel, well, you're Gen X. You're Gen X.
Okay.
So I feel like Gen X, we got the tail end of the Packers sucking, but like right before us, it was like 30 or 40 years of your life, or 20-ish years. You saw them be champions for a hot second, right? And then you started growing up, and you started, and then you're like, so the trauma, there's a lot of trauma. So I feel like some of the trauma, you know.
Coming out of the 60s, you got into the 70s, even into the early 80s. Like, that's a lot of losing. You dealt with a lot.
It's hard to, you know, it's hard to live on Vince Lombardi quotes for 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's all you have.
You're not wrong.
You're like,
you're not wrong.
You're literally like, we're the greatest team. We have the most championships. And you're the literally the most terrible
watching
team in the NFL.
Like, the worst football imaginable ever.
And you're like teaching your kids Vince Lombardi quotes. And they're like, well, why do the Packers suck so bad? And you're just swimming uphill. That's got to be, there's a lot of trauma there.
It's literally my life growing up with my grandparents. Like, legit going to games with my grandpa and him talking about going to the Ice Bowl and how great it used to be. That's my childhood.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Did you know that winning isn't the greatest thing? It's the only thing. Did you know that?
Oh, God. So good. So good.
I rock. Thanks for Super Chat. Love and appreciate what you guys do for all Packer fans. Go Pack Go with some cheesehead emojis. I like it.
Thanks, I rock.
I like it. I love how VMix Social is like, nah, we can't do emojis. David Techlin. Missed the last game, but here is LVN's incentive program. Goes up a buck for every sack. Let's get another tomorrow night or
come
two.
Come on, David. There you go, buddy. There you go. That's what I like to hear. Let's do it.
David, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm incentivized by this, but I think LVN makes that in like a half a second every day. Every second he makes that, right? Mike Witt. Mark Murphy on transplants for draft. You got – fuck Mark Murphy. Okay. Okay.
Oh, Corey. We're so close.
Can you
close.
Please
let
not
– the door.
Why are you
let
baiting me,
door.
Okay? Stop Banky baiting, okay? I don't want to – I don't like Mark Murphy, okay? I'm just going to put that out there. I'm very happy that he's retiring.
You almost got me there. That was
cool. I am extremely ecstatic that he is retiring. I think he's done some very good things for the franchise by leaving them alone. I think he's been a okay leader, but I think he also has made some serious mistakes that stopped us from winning Super Bowls, which you can say about almost any general manager or president of the Green Bay Packers, but namely not getting rid of Ted Thompson, not changing the culture from Ted Thompson, not being willing to rock the boat because he kind of is a little bit of a wussy. And, yeah, I mean, I can go on and on. I can do a whole show about why I hate Mark Murphy.
We got a whole, so, yeah. We got all sorts of new show ideas out of this program. I'm excited. So many different
all
episodes
the
we can do.
I'm going to have, well, I'm going to start an OnlyFans about, okay, I'm going to start an OnlyFans, and it's going to be rants about Mark Murphy. Who's going to subscribe? That's all it's going to be. That's
so
it.
In. I am so in.
Like, every day, so I'm going to pick a topic, and I'm going to tell you why Mark Murphy is the reason why that is what it is.
Somebody in an office somewhere watching your OnlyFans rant, and then all of a sudden the boss comes in, and they're like, whoa, what are you doing there? I'm on Banky's OnlyFans. Sorry, boss. Like, I can't. That's amazing. That's amazing.
I feel like I'll get some subs, a couple.
Oh, you will.
100%. If I price it accurately, like $2.99.
Okay, for the record, Corey Banky's opinions are Corey Banky's opinions. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Cheesehead TV as a whole. Thank you. That's my disclaimer.
Is that your disclaimer?
That's my disclaimer.
Why? Are you afraid that, like, the next Bob McGinn is going to be like, oh, well, I remember when you were talking about, and you're like, bro, that was my idiot partner.
Hey, bro, that I was got my... a long history of having to deal with stuff my idiot partner said. That's just been my life, you know, for 20 years. So, you know, yeah, I feel it necessary to get it out there.
You'll be all right. Mike Witt, Charles Martin would back you up if you poured that beer on St. Brown, Corey. In all fairness, at least he's better than his brother, RP, Random Packer, wow. ESB.
Equanimous St. Brown.
Equanimous St. Brown. Ryan Willie, who has a better chance of getting a gold jacket, Holmgren or Sharp? I'm going to say Holmgren.
I mean, just because it's taken so fucking long with Sharp, yeah, I think I agree.
Dennis, okay, pretty sure Mark Murphy's not coming on Transplant. That's all right. We'll get Brian. We'll get Ed.
All right. Yeah, I mean, isn't at this point Mark Murphy is like a recurring character on Grassi's YouTube channel anyway? So I don't.
Mark Murphy thinks I'm Tom Grassi. This is how much I like Mark Murphy. Do you know what I'm saying? He literally asked Tom Grassi if I was Tom Grassi.
What? No, he didn't.
Yes.
Stop.
Yes, he did. He did. Stop. This is like 2 years ago. He was like, "Oh, are you gonna be the one that rents Titletown office?" He told Tom Grassi that.
Oh 100%. My god.
100%. Happened. I have it not on hearsay. Mike Witt, thanks for the super chat. Is it just me, or does Kraft remind you of a young Kittle? His yak, his personality, just love that guy. Negs, is Musgrave done for a year? Hope not.
Mike, no. Musgrave, the kind of repeated quote from Matt is that there's a chance he's back late December. He did have surgery on the ankle, I want to say now, about a month, maybe over a month ago. So he's got to recover. He's got to, you know, hopefully get back. There is an opportunity or a possibility that he's back, say, the last game or two, and then hopefully into the playoffs. But definitely not done for the year, according to LaFleur.
Adam Koepke, how can we get Larry McCarron and Wayne Larrivee as TV announcers? There's something about those two calling a Packer game.
It's pretty dope, right? It's pretty great. But you know,
yeah, they should just do the alternate. They should have alternate broadcasts. You can choose Spanish. You can choose.
Because Amazon does this, right? Amazon has several different types of broadcasts, and I would suspect as time goes on, maybe the NFL and the broadcast partners start to open some of that up. The problem is that then would take. I mean, ESPN's seen a little bit of this with the Manning cast, but that takes viewers away from your main program, and the whole point is to sell advertisers on everybody's watching this program. So. I don't think it would ever really truly happen in a meaningful way, but God, you're right, Adam. It would be phenomenal to get Larry and Wayne on a television call sometime. It'd be dope.
Johnny Rivers, I can't wait to see Shannon induct Sterling into Canton. The injustice of the sports writers withholding such a generational talent's immortality out of spite has not only been petty, it's shameful. Time to make things right.
Johnny, you couldn't be more spot on. The fact that the entire 20-year window of Sharp's eligibility came and went without his ever being a finalist is fucking absurd. It is absolutely absurd. The guy should have been in years ago.
Live from Stadium Drive. Is that Matty Day?
What's up, Matty Day?
Larry's yes in the 2013 season finale. The best.
Man, got to give you guys a shout out. If you guys have not heard, Live from Stadium Drive has finally made Gutekunst their hit single. I may have just named it that. It's not really a single, it's not a hit, but it's fucking awesome. Make sure you check it out on Spotify. It is absolutely hilarious. It was originally on their show back in the day on YouTube, etc., and then they did a studio version of it. It is amazing. It is hilarious, and we should play it on this year program next week.
Nathan Hooper, going to the game tomorrow. Can't wait to get a dub in a hostile territory. Go Pack Go. Also, thanks for supporting our fave players of the past. Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan. Appreciate it, buddy. Good luck tomorrow. Don't take no shit off from any Lions fan. Stand your ground.
Eeyore Soder. Interesting that the Packers O-line is never really talked about as being among the best in the league. That is interesting.
It's crazy.
They absolutely are.
And I saw today there was, like, you know, talk about all pro and all this stuff are all along the offensive line. There are two Lions players, which, hey, shout out. They are very, very good. Excellent players. Not a single Packers among them. You know, Packers just going to keep doing that work. Just It's fine if you don't want to talk about it. Packers are just going to continue being awesome. It's fine by me.
Mimsy, has Amazon caught up to live extreme quality? I think they've had a pretty good year now. Yeah. Netflix now, I that's mean, a whole nother
better
thing.
Than Netflix,
Netflix gets game,
that.
I'm scared. Yes.
Holy cow. I mean, Christmas Day, the Christmas Day game is on Netflix, so God help us.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I mean, they learned a lot from the UFC thing, so
I hope so. We'll find out.
Porkmaster, my Packer buddy at work said he's happy for Lions because they've sucked forever. It made me sick. F that team for twisting Love's ankle after that play. GB is going to burn that stadium to the ground.
Yeah, that is – look, I'm not on the Lions are dirty tip. I don't think that's true.
I'm on that tip.
But that play was seriously problematic and questionable. I will 100%
agree with that. But didn't the dirtiest – one of the dirtiest players used to play for the Lions?
Ndamukong Suh?
Ndamukong Suh when he stepped on Aaron Rodgers and he like stepped
on
him.
You're not lying.
So like they have a history of dirty players.
Yeah. Dirty ass player, no question.
Also, like this whole Lions bandwagon thing is just it's so annoying.
Driving you nuts, isn't it?
It's just annoying.
They're really good. They're
like
really good
Craig
team.
Carton and all these people who'd never watch the Packers who are just like
dismissive.
Whatever. Whatever, bro.
Well, just remember, Craig Carton said, you know,
the Lions.
The Cowboys were going to blow out the Packers in the playoffs last year, and then the exact opposite happened. So if Craig Carton says, you know, the Lions are going to take care of the Packers, well, you know the Packers are going to take care of the Lions. That's just fact.
Yeah. Andrew's Paradise, random Packer, Cecil Isbell. That's one of my favorite roads.
Phenomenal. I don't know how random that is, but that's pretty phenomenal.
I was about to say, he's not very random.
No. I mean, outstanding talent.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's people on this chat that probably never heard of him.
Probably lots of modern folks who don't know who that is.
It's really sad. He's like literally one of the greatest innovators to play quarterback ever.
No question.
Mike Witt. I come across as negative in Eeyore because I have PTSD from growing up in '80s and watching them be eliminated from playoffs by Halloween. Sorry, guys. Yeah, well, that's
never
what I was
apologize,
saying.
Mike.
I was
never
trying
apologize.
To understand your PTSD.
Never apologize.
Heath Soder, that Murphy rant and you call me the Uber Eeyore. Smiley face. Oh, look at that emoji's in there. What's wrong with my Mark Murphy rant? Someone explain to me. Okay, someone, one day, explain to me. Why Mark Murphy is good. And I will have a list, because I've actually written this out, so I will have the receipts to show you why it was unfortunate what happened when Bob Harlan chose his successor, and we had to go outside of the organization because of the health issues of Harlan's successor. And that
Jones,
led us down a path that allowed the Packers culture to be overtaken by a man who is a very great man, but unfortunately is not the culture you want for your organization. And so it took us a very long time to remove that culture from the organization. So I got receipts, I got lists, I got photos, I got videos. Don't get me fucking started, Heath Soder. Anyway, Alex Kinsel, ESPN or Amazon should have you guys do an alternate broadcast like the Manning cast for Packers games.
We're open. Tell them to send an email to contact@cheeseheadtv.
My DMs are open. My DMs are always open.
We're ready. We're ready for you.
Andrew's Paradise. Just wanted to say John Jefferson was a dog.
Okay. He was. Wish he'd been a little better, though. Like, I remember thinking, like, we were going to win the Super Bowl because pairing him with, you know, James Lofton was going to take us over the top. And then everything they gave up in trade, and then it just was not that. But he was awesome. I remember being so excited when they traded for him.
Peter Lohr, has there ever been a coaching rant that you can remember that was an all-time from the Packers, like Denny Green? Yeah, Winston Moss.
No, I was just going to say, the one that comes close is I Can't Help You. I Can't Help You from Winston Moss. I Can't Help You.
That's great, because it's not a rant. That whole press conference is
amazing. That whole one of the most uncomfortable moments I've ever seen in a press conference setting, and the fact that Wilde literally said, did something happen? Like, have we done something? And his response is literally, I can't help you. Like, that's all.
We had it on. Great. We had it as the end of this show.
It was the end of Transplants for a long time. No doubt. I can't help you.
The fact that he actually, I mean, that's
so good. All timer.
All-timer.
Sean Gatchett. Comparing Love and Rodgers early in their careers is hard because Aaron had Driver, Jennings, Jones, Nelson, and Adams. Love's wide receivers are not close, and Love is balling for the most part. Not close. Jaden Reed?
I think they're close talent-wise, but experience-wise, you're right. You're right.
Bro.
Now, that doesn't mean they're not.
Jaden Reed is capable. Better than Driver, is better than Jones, is better than Nelson, and is better than Adams. Well, not Devontae in his prime.
Not Devontae or Jennings. But
Devontae in his second year. Jaden Reed is better than Devontae in year three, and considering where he is right now, it's crazy. Romeo Doubs is better than Driver. He has some good wide receivers. I don't know what
you're talking about. All right, relax.
I don't know what you're talking about, Willis.
Driver was still very, very good when the initial turnover happened. I mean, there's a reason Driver talked about, you know, Aaron, I love Aaron because he got me the ring. Like, they were productive as hell. Now,
Driver was on the end of his career.
At the end, when, like,
the last best play Donald Driver had, by the way, was in the NFC Championship game when he ran for 92 yards, and I thought we were going to win that game. But then one Brett Favre at the end, and also Jarrett Bush didn't fucking fall on the ball. And then at the end of the game, fucking Brett Favre, he's got six fucking people open, and he throws it to the one fucking guy to get an interception. So, yeah, that's the last time Donald Driver was good.
That's not true. He was good in the Super Bowl when they won it. I mean, and he was good after that.
He wasn't the same as he was.
His final year in the league, probably a year too long, no doubt about it. But
I love Donald Driver.
But here's the thing. Comparing the two, Aaron had much more experience to work with. Guys who'd been in the league a while, along with a lot of guys who were coming up, like Jordy Nelson, etc. But man, because the Packers have gone about it a different way, I mean, obviously ripping the Band-Aid off of so many older vets, etc., and gone a complete 180 youth movement, doesn't diminish or kind of illegitimize the work they've done or the talent that they have. There's zero doubt. And I hear what they're saying is, like, Jordan's still balling out. Yeah, he is balling out, but he also is throwing to a lot of talented dudes. Just because they're inconsistent and young doesn't mean they're not insanely talented. And eventually, they'll be like those guys you mentioned because they'll have the pelts on the wall. They'll have the experience, especially working with Jordan. So I bristle when people talk about, like, oh, he doesn't have the same stuff to work with as Aaron did. No, it's a very different situation, but it's not like they don't have talent. Please.
Also, I'm just going to caveat. I'm saying that Doubs in this year is better than Driver in 2010 or even 2009. I'm not saying better than Driver in 2005 or 4 or 5, 6. That's all I'm saying.
You know, so okay? The man's only the all-time leading receiver in Green Bay Packers history. So, yeah, he's pretty good. Pretty good dude. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. But Doubs is better than him than in 2010. That's all I'm saying. Eric Slate when Aaron Rodgers was taking over. Or actually 2009, sorry. Eric Slaby, I will do a fucking watch party with you, and we will watch every game from 2007 until 2010.
Dude, why I have a different opinion than you? It's just a different opinion. Like, no
your opinion
is
wrong. No, I'm getting upset because your opinion
is wrong. He's good and inconsistent. Hi. Driver was an absolute picture of consistency. Like, no.
Not later on in his career. I think you're revising
the
history.
The final season, you are correct.
Not just the final season. From 2007 to 2010. Season. Eric Slaby, thanks for your super chat. What are your thoughts on the Aaron Rodgers doc? Who Aaron Rodgers? Jacobs is better than Grant.
I mean, yeah. I love Ryan. I know Ryan. But yeah. Yes, correct.
Aaron Rodgers is in a doc. Have we reached peak Aaron Rodgers yet? I thought we reached it like 2 months ago. And I feel like we're still in it.
I just don't care. I'm glad he's not a problem.
Does anyone care about Aaron Rodgers anymore? Does anyone?
Some people do, apparently. Someone just super chatted it.
Sorry for you. Mike Witt. Me and Soder should do a Packer watch along, LOL.
Now we're talking. The Eeyore watch party.
Oh, I think our run defense is worse than our pass defense.
We're
oh, really?
Lose.
I think our special teams is worse than our run defense.
And the best part, Corey, and that's like after the second drive of the first quarter. Like,
we're going to lose.
We're going to lose, you guys. We just gave up 7 yards, and they got a first down. They have 5 minutes time of possession above us. We're going to lose the next quarter, you guys. Guys, we're going to lose. We are not running enough. I don't think we can do it.
So good.
This game is over.
Guys,
and it's the start of the second
quarter. I know it's... It's 30 to 10, but I don't know. If we don't do something, we're going to lose.
We love you guys.
It's so true. It's so true.
We're obviously, part of this is like projecting what we read on the chat every single fucking game to these two guys. Like, I know Soder knows ball, and Mike's a really great dude, and he's all in. He's very passionate. But, man, I'm telling you guys, if you're on this end and you're reading the chat whenever anything happens, like anything that isn't a big touchdown play or fireworks or whatever, man, the chat is just like the Packers are like the Browns. Like, that's what it looks like. Like, oh, we suck. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, God, fire everybody. Cut that guy. Bench that guy. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, yo, take a breath. I am begging you. Begging you.
Okay. 2007 driver was good. I never said he wasn't good. Just letting you know that, Brad.
Now you've earned the ire of the chat.
I've awakened the Donald Driver. Donald Driver fans have awakened in the chat.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What have you done?
What have I done? And maybe I'm going to get to see Donald Driver in 2 weeks, so that's going to be fun. Okay, we'll have to replay some of that. I'll have to be like,
relax.
Hey, Donald, do you think you were good in 2008, 9, and 10? Because I said you were kind of trash, and we were just kind of talking it through, and I just want to get your opinion on it. Thanks. I'll hang up. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Donald, how do you feel about your performance in the 2007 NFC Championship? Hey, Donald, did you think that Brett Favre was any good in 2007? Like, at the end of 2007 NFC Championship game, how did you feel, Donald? Did you feel depressed like I did?
I'm going to veto
all. Were you as cold as I was? Okay.
I'm going to use my standing as a co-founder of Cheesehead TV to veto all of this.
I believe there is. I think it's in the bylaws. Heath Soder, Green Bay does kind of sucks when they go away from the run. That checks out. There you go.
That checks out. See?
Everybody's like, please
like I said,
don't ask him that.
Knows,
I think Donald would
ball.
Laugh at me if I asked him something.
He knows ball.
I think he'd be fine with it.
Let's not do that. No.
Okay. I won't. That's all we got.
That's it. Okay. That's it. That's all we got.
That's good. It's over.
Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. Man, happy hour is always fun, and it's not always just Soder bringing us down. It's a really good time. Can't thank you guys enough for all the support. You're the lifeblood of everything we do at Cheesehead TV. Last night's happy hour was a hoot. A lot of good times, especially when you mix in the folks with the Carry the G Club here on YouTube. Cannot thank you guys enough for all the support here. Every watch party is a ball, mostly because of you folks, not the randoms who are like, this game is over at the end of the second quarter. Appreciate each and every one of you. Corey, you got anything else for the fine folks at home before we head out into the evening?
I actually do. Doug Hype TV, this driver debate is what I live for. Peak 2011-2016 Jordy is way better than any wide receiver on the roster right now. Reed is better than Super Bowl Jordy by a hair.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Jordy dropped a couple passes in that game, and no doubt if he's a little more consistent, Rodgers has some records. That's very true. I mean, Reed's a dog, and he's only getting started. And I think Jordy
That's
was on
thing.
A similar tip.
Similar
trajectory, no doubt.
Mike Witt, I go to a Cheesehead TV meetup. I want to meet Soder. That's exactly what we need. I think we need a Cheesehead TV
Eeyore. Soder was there. Where were you, Mike
Witt?
Only
fans.
So,
we need
Soder
a Cheesehead TV Eeyore. I'm going to start a Mark Murphy. I hate Mark Murphy super fan, OnlyFans with Heath Soder and Mike Witt. So thanks.
Okay.
It's going to be the Eeyores and the I Hate Mark Murphy's Club.
Oh my God. Are we good? Are you done? Can we head out now?
And am I done? Like, I was just reading super chats.
As you've gone down scorched earth on like half the folks in the Packers orbit, are we good?
Nah, only one.
Okay.
He just so happens to be the president, so, you know.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and... And just, it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.